years, and gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today in the first part of the show has been Daniel New, father of Michael New, whose case you can read about at MikeNew.com. This has implications, of course, for every America. It's been a battle that's been going on since August of 1995. It involves all kinds of things. Do the armed forces of the United States represent the people of this country? Are they designed to protect the Constitution of the United States and to defend our borders? Do they operate according to lawful orders from a chief executive, or don't they? And is the armed force of the United States something that is designed to protect our own people, our own borders, our own Constitution? Or has it evolved into something else? I made reference to the fact that it seems to me that in many respects you could argue that our kids have become a janissary force for international, global, political, and economic interests that do not meet the litmus test of the founding fathers in any way, shape, or form. I was going to ask Dan New what he thought of that. Dan, do you think that that's a fair analysis as to what's happened?
Listen, I think it is. It is. Before I go there, let me ask you a quick question on the previous segment. I wanted to butt in, but the music cut me off there. Is there any truth to the rumor that Republic Broadcasting is contemplating changing their name to Empire Broadcasting?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. If they're, I sincerely hope that that rumor is false. Okay. I cannot imagine Mr. Statmiller going along with that kind of a change. So I assume that in perpetuity it will be the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay.
I can't imagine. Yeah, in terms of the constituency of this particular network, both in terms of listeners and hosts, I think it would be ironic if I suddenly went back to the Republican Party and ended up on CNN. Right?
There you are.
Yeah,
well,
we
gotta stay in business. You know, that's the philosophy. Whatever it takes. So,
and that's right, and that's where we get into this whole philosophical question when it comes to journalism. Are we, in fact, proclaiming free ideas? Are we, in fact, saying what we really believe? Or have we become shills of a corporate establishment? And I think that that's where you have the difference between RBN and the American Free Press, for example, on the one hand.
They're free to say anything they're paid to say.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it, and I. This is where Michael Collins Piper, I think, comes in. I've been reading his book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America. There's a very interesting chapter in this book regarding who and what it is that owns the major news outlets in the United States. And when you start getting into that sort of an analysis, it makes your son's legal situation even more draconian, potentially, than we've already believed it to be.
Well, you're exactly right. And let me leap there with that one word, draconian. After the break, I want to discuss what
is.
What
remember is, draconian. We'll be back.
Draconian and janissaries. We'll do it.
There you go. Draconian and janissaries. We'll define those when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN with Daniel New. You can find out all about the Michael New case at MikeNew.com. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today, our first guest, is Daniel New, who is talking with us this morning about the Michael New case, which we can read about at MikeNew.com. I've also got an article on Daniel that I penned a few years ago that's still on my website, entitled A Tribute to Daniel New. It'll take you back to the summer of 1996. And all the reasons why both Dan and I left the Republican Party at that time for what became known as the Constitution Party. And before the break, Dan, we were talking about draconian. We were talking about Janissaries. Go for it.
All right. One of the most draconian or scary things that happened in history, and when I first read about these guys years ago, I was shocked at the psychological warfare that was involved in it. But back in the days of Constantinople's power and the rising power of Islam in Turkey and throughout the Middle East, there was constant warfare, of course, between Constantinople, which was sort of the point for the Orthodox and the traditional Christianity versus Islam, and had held that point and was the gateway that was the door that was kept shut to Europe that the Orthodox were holding. Well, over the years, over the centuries, the Muslims continued to attack Constantinople until they reached the point that they could extract tribute from them. And one of the things they took from them, of course, was a certain amount of gold every year and some ships and some supplies. But they also required so many young boys to be given. And those young boys, naturally, if you ask the leaders of a state to turn over so many young boys between the ages of, say, 6 and 10, they didn't give the sons of the king or the priests or the ruling elite. They gave the sons of the slaves and the poor, and these were in many cases there was a lot of these people who were blonde-haired, blue-eyed Vikings in Constantinople. Interesting history there. So these kids were given away to the Muslims, to the Turks, who took them into Turkey. First of all, castrated them. Re-educated them or brainwashed them or whatever, but, you know, changed their faith to Islam and turned them into the most fierce fighting force of warriors, elite troops. These were shock troops. They were the special forces of the Ottoman Empire. And when these guys would then come back a few years later to attack Constantinople, imagine the horror if you're a soldier standing inside the walls and seeing these guys climbing up ladders. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed guys waving scimitars and shouting Allah Akbar. These are their own sons and their own children and the children of their neighbors that they're going to have to kill or be killed by. So the Janissaries was just a tremendous shock value. And the Janissaries are at the gate was one of the most feared things to be shouted in the streets. And then it occurred to me one day that that's exactly what they're doing with our own children here in America and around the world. The United Nations and these global arrangements, these regional arrangements of global warfare, are taking our children, re-educating them, and sending them off to fight those people who should be their friends in some cases. So I think the American soldier, especially those who have been subverted over to serve on United Nations deployments, are nothing short of modern-day 20th and 21st century Janissaries.
Yes, and it seems to me that this is where people run into all kinds of internal dissonance when it comes to their role in the American military. Obviously, when we see these presentations trying to get kids to sign up, one night, about a little over 2 weeks ago, I happened to be attending a U.S. Air Force Band of the West concert here in San Antonio. And as part of the concert presentation that evening at Trinity University in San Antonio, there was predictably an appeal, a very sophisticated media appeal made to get young people to join the Air Force. And I thought it was striking to see the extent to which the audiovisual presentation, which was a very fine one as far as technology is concerned, that was used to appeal to these kids, was utilizing nationalistic symbols. You had the American flag used copiously. There were references made to the Constitution of the U.S., there were some old paintings of Washington and Madison and Jefferson that were dragged out in terms of the presentation. And it was fairly well done in regard to the visceral appeal to sign up for Air Force Blue in the context of defending mom and motherhood and apple pie, so to speak. And I thought it was a very, very interesting device that was employed, because when I look, for example, at this present deployment in Iraq, I keep coming back to these age-old questions that guys like Daniel New keep putting in front of me, and that is this truly in the national interest of this country? Who's behind this war? Who's profiting by it? Was there a constitutional declaration of war to make this a legal conflict, and so forth and so on? And when we compare the visceral appeal and the appeal of imagery that is used by the powers that be to get kids to sign up for the armed forces, and then look at the actual agenda, it seems to me that we're right back to this essential quandary over what I think has, in fact, become a Janissary force.
Exactly. It's a bait-and-switch situation. Did you see any United Nations flags or light blue
parades? Absolutely none.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely none.
Yet it is absolutely predictable that some of those recruits will be sent on United Nations deployments, whether or not they have the blue beret.
Yes, that's absolutely correct, and it seems to me, again, that thinking back to Ronald Reagan's famous line against Jimmy Carter years ago in the 1980 presidential debates, where Reagan asked the American people to evaluate whether or not they were better off at that time than they had been 4 years previously, I guess I would ask some of these people promoting this propaganda for immediate sign-up in the American military whether or not we are as free a people and as constitutional a people as we were 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 or 200 years ago, and see what they would have to say about that.
Oh, my. And, you know, the only thing that keeps these guys in business is that people do not know ancient history, and by ancient history, I mean anything past last week.
Yes. Last week or less.
Yes. Yes. I mean, when the philosophy of a nation becomes so hedonistic and the self-gratification becomes their religion, they have no vision. And without vision, we know what happens to the people.
They perish.
They perish. Without vision, the people perish. And I might add, without a will to win, the people will lose. The nation will die. And this nation has neither vision nor a will to dominate. Now, we have political leaders who want to dominate. And I think that that's been confused in the minds of the man in the street who you know, there's a guy in a feed store here who epitomizes to me the problem in America. He's a nice guy, but when we were invading Iraq, I said, Edwin, how can you say that? I mean, how can you say that's a great thing? Where's the constitutional basis for it? He said, well, I don't know anything about that, but somebody's butt needs to be kicked and they're handy.
Well, that's a real rational policy, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is if you're in a bar, I guess, and you're looking for a fight. But my goodness, that's what we've been reduced to.
In the mind. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so if that's a dominant attitude, and I think it was, then may still be, although I think we're sobering up now and we've got a hangover after 4 years of this occupation. And by the way, I'd like to point out that we won that war in 51 days. What's happened ever since the 52nd day has been an occupation.
Well, that's right. And, you know, to me, we get back to something that Buchanan, to his credit, said at the time. I don't remember whether he was on CNN or MSNBC when he said it, but he was a part of a panel that was issuing its predictions going into this latest war. And various people had their predictions, yeah, we'll win, no, we won't win, so forth and so on. Buchanan had absolutely the most prescient remark of anyone when he said that, well, he said, we'll win the conventional military phase of this conflict, and we'll win that very quickly, but then we will lose the occupation. And that's exactly what's happened.
There you are. And this is the reason that Buchanan would have made a good president, because he understood a lot of things that and that's why he could not be possibly be allowed to prevail.
Yes. Absolutely. And to me, as I look at this whole thing, Dan, and I think of your son's case and this whole business of Presidential Decision Directive 25, I mention another presidential directive, this one entitled National Security Presidential Directive 35, which I found out about through reading a recent article by Dr. Michael Chosadovsky at globalresearch.ca. And this one was dealing with this, what is apparently an impending war between the United States and Iran. And in this National Security Presidential Directive 35, Mr. Bush, with absolutely no exposure whatsoever in the corporate press, signed on to a doctrine that basically authorizes the preemptive utilization of nuclear weapons against Iran in this so-called Conplan 8022. Now, it seems to me that for those who have not grasped the implications of Presidential Decision Directive 25, it would seem to be a seamless garment as we go from Presidential Decision Directive 25 to this whole business now of National Security Presidential Directive 35, where we have an American president who says, I don't need a constitutionally declared war to attack Iran. And moreover, I can do it with nuclear weapons if I want to. And here is the National Security Presidential Directive where I authorize myself to utilize these TAC nukes if I need to. To me, that is an absolutely terrifying concept in terms of what the Founding Fathers would certainly have seen as a chief executive run amok.
Well, absolutely. He apparently subscribes to the same philosophy as Clinton, stroke of the pen, law of the land.
Yes. Stroke of the pen, law of the land. And there you have the non-difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and the corporate masters who control both of them.
We'll be back with Daniel New. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. We'll have Mark Glenn on at 9 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We're back. This is Mark Gankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today in the first part of the show is Daniel New, whose son, Mike New, has been through the real ringer since August of 1995 in regard to a legal case that has implications for every America, every American. You can read about that legal case at MikeNew.com. Among many things, it involves whether or not the members of the armed forces of the United States can don UN insignia on their uniforms and serve as a janissary force for the United Nations, aside from specific acts of Congress. That's a question that's not going to go away, of course. And Dan, as we talk about this whole situation, up to and including Mr. Bush's signing now of National Security Presidential Directive 35, where he authorizes himself to attack Iran preemptively with nuclear weapons if he so decides that this is something that needs to happen. When we look at this sort of thing,
Now, I know, Dan, in your particular case, you're not only a constitutionalist and an American historical buff, but you're also a very traditional evangelical Christian. You understand something about Christian theism and the history of the church. Are we right back again to the need for another Barman Declaration? Are we going to see a situation where Americans who have Christian faith, true Christian faith that is rooted in a proper understanding of the Word of God, and Americans who believe in the Constitution of their country according to the original intent of the founders, are going to have to step back at some point from this and do the very thing in a much wider context that your son did in a more narrow context in 1995, and that is to simply refuse to obey dictates that are not rooted either in Christian theism or in the constitutional traditions of this country. Is it reaching that point?
It's a prescient question, and I believe that Thomas Jefferson addressed the same question in the Declaration when he said that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. But just as Michael was told in the beginning, if you disobey this order, in fact, he was told in his field training manuals in basic training, disobeying an order, even an illegal order, will be done at your own peril. In other words, you may lose your career over this, but as that field manual 22-100 said, you are not to obey illegal orders, and you are to make it difficult for others to do what is wrong. This is still in writing, or at least it was when Michael was there. They may have changed that, but I doubt it. And yet we will do so. We will refuse to serve, or we will disobey orders of the government at our own peril. And therein lies more than this program can cover. But it's a question that we all need to be asking ourselves.
Yes, and it seems to me that it involves a situation where we have to count the cost.
Count the cost.
And to me, one of the most disturbing things that I see among people who, in many instances, call themselves conservatives politically, whatever that term is supposed to mean, and who call themselves conservative Christians, have, in my view, in many instances, gone along with the flow in terms of a globalist, internationalist foreign policy. They've gone along with the flow in terms of continuing to give Mr. Bush the maximum amount of space that he needs to do things that more traditional approaches have seen to be both unlawful and unconstitutional. Are we, in this sense, dealing with a circumstance where some of the leading lights of the Christian right, some of them at least, I'll leave it to you as to determine which ones I might be referring to here, have in a sense become court theologians and court jesters for the Bush administration and for a much wider globalist movement that, in essence, is the antithesis of Christianity and the antithesis of a constitutional approach to policy?
Yes.
Yeah. There you have it. Yes.
To a long question, but you're absolutely right. First of all, I don't know what conservative means anymore. You know, once Henry Kissinger and Gorbachev called themselves conservative, we realized what a relative term that is, and it sort of means what the speaker wants it to mean. So one is reluctant to be identified with a camp that has no meaning. But I think that the constitutionalist in this country, which I think by and large would be also Christians and probably fundamental Christians or believing Christians as opposed to nominal Christians, have traded their birthright or have traded their tremendous position of holding their elected representatives accountable. We've traded that in for just becoming a voting bloc. We've now become a pressure group, one of many. And there are many different pressure groups out there, and we seem to be content to have a place at the table among all the others instead of saying, whoa, 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 we're the keepers of the gate here. We don't care what you guys say in reaching your consensus. When the consensus doesn't match the founding documents, then it doesn't matter what it says. We're not going that way.
What do you believe in regard to – we'll get to this when we come back. I was going to ask you, why so many so-called conservative Christians have signed on with the George Bush brand of republicanism.
When we come back, we'll be talking again with Daniel New. You can find out all about the Michael New legal case at MikeNew.com. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Mark Glenn will be on at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today for the first part of the show is Daniel New, the father of Michael New. You can read all about the Michael New case at MikeNew.com to see the extent to which war-making powers have reached entirely new levels unconstitutionally, how we continue to move more and more in the direction of a capricious, all-powerful chief executive who can and has and will order American troops to be involved in operations that do not involve constitutionally sanctioned congressional declarations of war and that involve American kids being under the command of the United Nations and other globalist entities in the behest of interests, presumably, that have everything to do with global economic interests, multinational global economic interests,
And those things that are not necessarily at all the interest of the average American as that was perceived by the founding fathers of this country. Daniel, looking at what you put out on your son's case here a couple of weeks ago, which is still on the front page of Breaking All the Rules News, you mentioned that the Constitutional Republic is no longer simply sick. It appears to be dead. If the president can force Americans to fight without a declaration of war under foreign powers, then the republic no longer exists. Now, of course, I agree with that statement. And I find myself wondering why it is that so many people who call themselves Christians and so many people who call themselves conservatives in this country have basically gone right along with this policy, particularly when a Republican chief executive is in the White House. Is it the case that they have no longer perceived that in terms of the separation of powers in the Constitution, which I argue is based upon a biblical doctrine of original sin, and that biblical doctrine of original sin keeps us from trusting one branch of government to the exclusion of the others. It should keep us from trusting one individual who wants to usurp all political power for himself. That biblical doctrine of original sin, it seems to me, also understands that there are certain powers that are God's alone and that should have nothing to do with Caesar. Now, if Christians in this country and people who call themselves political conservatives simply forgotten all of this when it comes to the fact that we have a Republican president in office, that presumably, in their view, he should be allowed to do whatever he wants to do?
Again, I agree completely. Those who call themselves conservatives have no understanding of in many cases, they have a very shallow understanding of biblical principles. And those who call themselves Christians have a very shallow understanding of constitutional foundations, and both. It's a crisscross thing. You can draw a little four-way chart on that thing. But basically, the education system, or perhaps I should just say fathers, have not educated their sons and daughters. We have allowed a socialist education system to brainwash our children into believing what they're told and to ignore the foundations of both our faith and of our country and our liberty. And therefore, it's the only thing that could happen after the amazing thing is it has taken so long. And this is what this is why George Orwell was wrong on his date. And that was the only thing he was wrong about. But as I have also said, you know, look, if the republic is dead, and the empire has begun, we are in an awkward in-between stage, but it's just a matter of time. And the sun will still come up, the grass will still grow, you know, and, you know, traffic will still jam, and people will listen to us on the radio, but fewer and fewer probably as they try to stifle this voice of republic broadcasting. But unless we can educate ourselves and our children to the meaning of these foundational things, then there's no point. And we have, again, there's no vision and there's no will to win when you don't understand what's going on.
Yes, it seems that all of the presuppositions have shifted. And when the presuppositions that undergird your belief system or mine cease to be the philosophical presuppositions,
exactly.
And when our children are not schooled in the history of those presuppositions and the philosophical implications of those presuppositions, then we're left with a George Bush brand of republicanism. We're left with two major parties who are two sides of a counterfeit coin.
Sure, and a theology that's rooted in Zionism.
Well, let's discuss that one for a little bit. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross will be with me a little bit later on in the show, and we spent a lot of time talking about Zionism. Isn't this an interesting question, Daniel, because this whole issue of Zionism and Christian Zionism seems to be part of the glue, more than part of the glue, that the empire, so to speak, is using to keep Christians and unwitting conservatives, utilizing those terms advisedly, in support of the aims of empire. Isn't Zionism a major component in this deception?
Would appear to be so. And, you know, I looked up the book that you mentioned earlier on Amazon to look at that book, because I did not have that book, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten the title.
Michael Collins Piper's book,
yes.
The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America.
Exactly. I looked that up and went ahead and purchased a copy of it while I was there. at a used copy. They don't carry it for sale, but they had a used copy that I purchased. And I'm looking forward to seeing it because I think he's absolutely on it. But I noticed under the description of the book, it's listed as anti-Jewish. And so I went ahead and added, the readers can add a new search topic. And I added, it says anti-Zionist. Anti-Jewish. And I said, it's not anti-Jewish, it's anti-Zionist. People don't understand the difference. And therein lies a lot of our problems theologically.
Yes.
We don't understand the difference. We think that we equate the political state today of Israel with Israel in the Old and New Testaments. We equate rather than Hebrew or Israel then and Israel today being the same thing. They're not the same thing. And, boy, I don't know that, again, we have the time to go into that, but because we don't understand history, and therefore we come up with a flawed theocratic view of what's going on. You've got to study and you've got to understand what's going on.
Yes, and it seems to me that this is an area where the Zionist movement obviously has its tentacles very firmly entrenched in both of the major political parties in this country. And when one looks at the statements of the major political presidential candidates in both parties, they're saying all of the obligatory things about Zionism and about Israel. Is this not a situation where this is being demonically used to create a theocratic aura for a policy that basically has nothing to do with God and everything to do with empire and everything to do with multinational corporate competitions for raw materials?
Well, exactly. And boy, those who understand Roman history can also see the parallels. Here we are at the time of Cicero. Where here's this guy doing all he can, and not a Christian either, but doing what he can to preserve government, the Republic, under law in the face of his old friend and his enemy as well, Julius Caesar, who ushers in the Empire and destroys the Republic. And again, Rome goes on for another 400-500 years. It's not going to be the end of American power abroad, but it is going to be the end of what you and I knew growing up. And yet, if we continue to tell ourselves that this is life is okay and everything just is like it used to be, and because the grass is still the green same color and has to be cut, you could easily escape understanding. But you've got to root yourself in some history, and we've got to be teaching our kids some history to help them to understand the difference in what's going on here.
Do you think the Iraq War will become, particularly if it expands to Iran? And there are a lot of indications that are going on that it will. Do you think that this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, that this could be the circumstance that finally causes the American people to question all of their assumptions about centralized power that they've been going along with for, lo, these many decades?
I could wish, but I'm sorry. I think realistically they're not going to wake up. Being ungrounded, they're going to believe what the pablum they're given. They're fed on television, on major media, and talk shows, the major talk shows, and they're going to react with indignation that anyone would suggest that this is anything less than the American flag bomb and apple pie. They're just going to defend it like robots. And I don't think they're going to wake up. Yeah, a few people will wake up, of course. And there's more and more frustration around the country. That's growing. And I think some eyes are being opened, both on the left and the right. You know, it's funny. I'm hearing a lot. Some of the guys on the left are saying the same things we've been saying for a long, long time and are suddenly startled to see that we're saying what they're saying because sometimes they're right even for the wrong reasons. And yet, I think the only thing that's going to stop this juggernaut is an economic collapse, and I think that's a very real possibility, which is why it's important for people to be, you know, we have to ask ourselves, how shall we then live in the collapse of things? And we need to start looking to the security of our own individual families and communities and churches. And one of those things is to go over there and look at the one of your sponsors, advertising gold, Republic Gold, is that it, Republic Trading?
Yes.
Republic
yes.
Trading, and position yourself to be in a position that in the event of an economic collapse, you're not destroyed. If your house is worthless and you can't sell it and you can't pay for it and you're going to lose it to the bank or the mortgage company, what are you going to do? If some of your investment is in your savings or in something that will go up instead of down in value, then you've hedged on your bet, so to speak, or you've hedged on your investments. And I strongly encourage that, because I think we're at the point now of looking towards individual survival, even as we contemplate how to alter or to abolish the empire that is being imposed upon us today.
Do you think that the collapse of the American dollar is ultimately going to be the final end game of this whole imperial policy in the Middle East? Do you think that that's how it's going to play?
Yeah, I really do. I think that the dollar is going to make a lot of their plans impossible, and yet I think certain people are positioned, as they were during the last depression, to make millions and billions of dollars, and now it'll be billions and trillions. At the same time, a lot of things are going to go. A lot of people will wake up when hard times hit them in the face, and in the event of an economic collapse, once we get past the point of survival for food and basic services, there's going to be a hue and cry that traditional politics can no longer be expected to sustain these weevils in office. You know, the lesser of two weevils is still a weevil.
Yes.
And everybody keeps voting for the lesser of two weevils.
Well, this is why, I mean, to me, when we start talking about the expansion of what was the older British imperial policy in the Middle East,
mercantilism and...
Yes.
Right.
That the United States should be in the business now of doing this, and that the United States should be the ultimate guarantor of security for the Zionist state of Israel, and the United States should be involved in 130 different countries militarily around the globe, and we should be expanding NATO into all of these former satellites of the Soviet Union and so forth. It just seems to me at some point that old Roman maxim about the overstretch of imperial ambition and imperial power is going to take place here, that there will be a collapse, and I guess the only thing that will be left to determine is that if that scenario plays out that way, what will follow that collapse? It's a little hard to know at this point what would follow.
Right, and I'm not going to attempt to be the prophet on that, because I don't have I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and I don't have the crystal ball to look into the future. But I will say that, and a lot of people have asked me, do you advise me to advise my son to enlist in the military, or my daughter in this nowadays? Well, I never advise anybody's daughter to enlist in a man's world in the military, but I'm at the point that my sons and grandsons and children will not be encouraged from this quarter to enlist, and that's not treason. That's in my opinion. You know, that is simply we're not signing up and not offering our children to be Janissaries. I'm stressed sometimes though when I hear people that say, well, you know, look, my son's joining the Army. You know, what do you think? I think, well, by golly, I hope you've educated him, because he's either going to be a New World Order shock troop or he's going to get himself court-martialed down the road. And I can address that with a little bit of authority.
Absolutely. And in terms of your son's situation, what's going on with Michael now, and what would you characterize as his overall, you know, reaction to this final denial of his appeal before the Supreme Court? Where does this leave him?
Okay, first of all, he married a girl from Germany that he met there in Germany, what we used to call, I guess, a war bride, and I suppose today we would call them peacekeeping brides. But in any event, he married a young lady who's a bright girl and, you know, sharp, and, you know, she's very pleasant. And they got married, came over here, and he put her through college at Sam Houston State University with a degree in accounting. And now then she's working and making more money than he has or I ever have in a bank. And she's putting him through school. He's about to graduate from Sam Houston State there in Huntsville and with a degree in information technology. So his life has gone on, and he's, you know, still remains quiet in terms of the public. He says he'd rather be court-martialed again than give another interview or to give another speech. But I asked him the other day when I called him up to inform him of the decision, and I asked him how does this thing hit you? And he said, well, of course I'm disappointed, and on another level I'm angry that they've destroyed the Republic and the Constitution. But he said, Dad, I got to tell you, my number one reaction to this whole thing is just relief that it's over.
Yes.
It's sort of like he's been through the fire, and he's made his stand, and he's paid his price, and he's relieved that it's over. But it doesn't mean that he's changed his view on anything. Would he do it again? In a heartbeat, he says.
What do you think there will be other Michael news to come forth in regard to this present situation, which we find ourselves in Iraq? Do you think that the moral quandaries and constitutional quandaries presented by this whole thing will at least cause a few other people to come forth? I mean, I'm struck by the fact that in terms of this Macedonian situation, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was one guy that stood up, one, and that happened to be your son.
Even though two-thirds of the men in the barracks agreed with him. Yes, but the only one stood up and said no. The other said, hey, they're going to give us $1,000 a month for 6 months, extra pay. We can buy a car with that much money. And Michael's reaction to that was, well, you know, they have words for people who do things they don't believe in, but they do it for money. And do I think there will be more? I think there already have been some, but they're not going to get the publicity because the nature of their protest is going to be lumped into anti-war dissidents. I think this guy, Lieutenant Watada, may well be one. I haven't spoken to him, and I've been reading. And a lot of these guys are being captured by the anti-war movement, by the extreme left, and they're championing their causes. And so that means that the conservative pro-war movement basically will discount anything they have to say. So I'm not sure we'll have anything of the magnitude of a Michael New in the next few years.
In the few minutes that we'll have left for your segment, Dan, when we come back, I wanted to ask you about this whole business of the left-right situation with the anti-war movement, where you think conservatives can maybe cooperate with the left on these things, and where we'd have company with them. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the final minutes of our segment with Daniel New. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross will be up with us shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Dan, as we kind of wind things down this morning, I was going to ask you, all of this left-right coalescence on some of these issues related to the war and the Constitution that we have both noted this morning, what do you think are both the possibilities and the perils for conservatives in cooperation with the anti-war left?
You always got a good way of putting it, Mark. There are great possibilities and there are great perils. But it's my experience is that with a lot of these guys who are honest and who are simply working from a different premise, we have concerns, the same concerns about the same events, quite often for different reasons. And there's always potential to work with somebody that agrees with you on the solution, even if you don't agree with why the problem exists or what the implications are. But again, you don't get in bed with these guys. You know, we need to cooperate, and I think we need to talk more because they are saying many of the same things that we're saying, and that doesn't mean that you have to agree with them, and that is how political parties come to exist, by agreeing upon solutions rather than agreeing upon every jot and tittle of theology and fundamental understandings. So at the risk of suggesting a big tent, I do think that we have some room for disagreeing on understanding why we have this problem, but we really do need to look at some solutions, which if they want to go back to a more constitutional time, and they're very concerned about the rights of habeas corpus, about the rights of, you know, what they call human rights or civil rights, about search and seizure and illegal things. Well, we need to explore and to cooperate on those issues where we have common ground.
Final question for you, Dan. Do you think the Constitution Party is the best political vehicle for America First-type conservatives that have finally gotten fed up with the Republican Party? Do you think that will ever get off the ground?
Boy, that was two different questions.
Yes.
Yes, I do think that it is the best vehicle, which is why I'm still a member of that organization. And they say things, and there are individuals there that say things I don't always agree with, as it is with any group of people. Heavens, I read my own writings a few years back and don't agree with everything I say.
Yes.
I mean, if I can't agree with myself, I'm going to have to be a party of one, or I'm going to have to work with some people that I don't always agree with. But do I think that they will win? No, absolutely, I don't think they will win. Do I think it would be, therefore, foolish to stand with them? No, I don't think so, because I think that you have to stand on principle. If principle goes down the tubes, and the country's going down the tubes, you know, standing at the judgment throne, do you want to be found guilty of having stood on principle, or guilty of having tried to go with the winning party and sacrificed all principle? I think it's an excellent place to network with other like-minded individuals for all kinds of things, including survival, including fellowship and worship and friendship and just expanding among people who are like-minded. I think it's great. There is a state constitution coming up, a conference coming up in June, I think June the 9th, at Washington on the Brazos, and I encourage people to go to cptexas.org, I believe it is, Constitution Party of Texas, and invite them to come to that conference.
Very good. I'll put the word out on that with the Republic Broadcasting Network here in coming days. That's June the 9th, the Constitution Party a conclave here in Texas. And it's cptexas.org?
I believe that's right, and it'll be at Washington on the Brazos. I'll send you a thing on that by email, Mark.
Very good, Daniel, and I'll make sure that the word gets out on it. God bless you.
Thanks for
we'll
a great
be back.
Show.
We'll be back in a little bit with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press. Just wanted to thank Dan New for coming on. You can read about the Michael New case again at mikenew.com. This is Mark Dankos, America. I'm San Antonio. Again, stay tuned.